word is I'm gonna.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hit the button and Carol.
Oh, come on.
You're fucking with me.
Mature audiences only. It is not intended for children.
The oversensitive. What do you think after 132 fucking episodes we have this sucker?
We got at least 132 more to get it right.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast.
The first thing you're using. Hello.
Carol the Cat.
I like my iPhone.
The Giddy Geeker. And Tiffany the Technician.
What's up, eh?
Hello!
She's in Canada.
Hey!
How about some gravy with those fries, eh?
Yeah.
Is she a refugee?
Fries.
Yes.
We don't know if
she got deported. Episode 132. No, just kidding. Tiffles the Technician has not been deported to Toronto. Canada. She is a...
She's there, Henry Cavill.
Oh, yeah. She might not be able to get back in the country, though. We don't know.
She may like it up there.
They may kick her out for being Tiffles.
This is true. They're very polite up there. And
she's very Tiffles.
Very Tiffles.
We love you, Tiffles.
Okay. Have some gravy with your French fries.
Tiffles?
Tiffany.
That's
Tiffany.
Her nickname.
Tiffany's Tenenbaum, the technician.
The technician.
She's never done a technical thing in her life.
It's an ironic.
So that extra voice you're hearing happens to be Carl from Tangents Magazine.
I'm well rested. Good.
Yes. Field was quiet.
No, but it was very pleasant.
Oh. He's a gentle touch.
Jinx, somebody buy somebody a Coke. That's all I know.
The doll where you touch. No,
right here. Now we've got to get somebody on for equal time and do a workshop. This has been episode 132.
I was supposed to fan of crisscross. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Crisscross will get you.
Okay. What are we talking about?
So
first?
Speaking of jumping around, the Dancing with the Stars cast has been.
You're going to start with that.
Yeah. Okay. Has been announced,
yes!
huh?
So we always start.
Giddy Geeker, you're excited about this. This is your passion. You're geeky about it. Tell us who's on there. It's got to be the A-list. It's got to be what? Jack Nicholson, because he's a big star.
Shut up.
It's got to be.
Stop.
Oh, okay. Who is it?
It's going to start March 20th.
March 20th.
And among the stars announced, I won't tell you them all. You can look it up online.
Jack Nicholson, got to be the first one. Go ahead.
I've got words for you.
I'm on report. Okay.
Okay. Nancy Kerrigan.
Why?
Olympian.
Didn't Tonya Harding do it?
No.
Everybody
keeps
asking
that. How so?
Yeah.
I
thought, seriously, she was on.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Charo.
Some Charo.
Oh,
she falls, she'll break a hip.
Mr. T.
If he falls, he'll break a hip.
Simone Biles from the USA gymnastics team.
Oh, yeah. She's popular.
Because
she's
going to... Mr. T is going to beat her.
And then a slew of other people. But I'm excited about Charles, Mr. T. Interested in seeing what Nancy Kerrigan does. Because, you know, Christy Yamaguchi actually, you know, was a former figure skater. And she did very well on it. And usually, you know, and then also Simone Biles, because Laurie Hernandez was on last season.
Right.
And she did very well. She actually won. So
here's what my inner geek would love to see. Mr. T and is it Simone Biles? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So but the Mr. T cartoon was him in a group of was it acrobats or
was it
gymnasts?
It was gymnasts.
They all wore tracksuits all the time. And like he'd say, pity the fool, stay in school, don't do drugs, and all that shit.
They would solve, they were like the Scooby
Gang.
Yeah,
the Scooby
Gang,
but Mr. T would just threaten people.
Yes.
tell me who you are.
Okay.
Take your mask.
But along with those, we also have Chris Kattan from SNL.
Mango from SNL, I love it.
From Glee, we have Heather Morris.
So you are just going to name them all?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Which one's Heather?
I don't know.
Okay.
NFL player Rashad Jennings.
Okay.
And then Nancy Kerrigan, girl from Fifth Harmony, Normani Corday.
No idea.
The Bachelor, Nick.
These are stars.
Dial, no.
Wow.
We have Bonner Bolton. I don't know who that is. David Ross. Erica Jane is from Beverly Housewives. And then,
so we're using quotations around stars.
Yeah. Well, I told you the ones that were actually people you would recognize. Yeah. Chara, Chris Kattan,
but I wish Mr. T, Jack Nancy Nicholson, Kerrigan, Jack Nicholson.
No.
Oh, is not.
And Simone Biles.
They're saving him for next year. Okay.
Stop. All right. So,
Judge, I wish to object. Nobody from The Bachelor has ever been a celebrity.
In their minds, they have.
That's a good point.
Yeah, in their minds, they have. So you know to. Continue the tradition of fucking with me because they want to do it at the same time. I'm sorry, this is the second episode. So You Think You Can Dance is coming back soon as well.
Yeah.
And one of the exciting things that they've announced, and it's exciting to me, I don't care if it's exciting to you or not.
Oh, thanks.
Is that Mary Murphy, who was removed as a judge and replaced with Paula Abdul and Jason Derulio, and even that little Maggie, who was the whatever. Mary Murphy with the Hot Tamale Train is coming back. So we're very excited about that. And it does sound like the So You Think You Can Dance is going back to the roots of the way that it started, which is what they needed to do.
So Paul Abdul's out?
They haven't said who is out.
But she's definitely back.
She's definitely back.
I seem to remember on Hollywood Babylon they said she quit.
Paula?
Yeah, could be.
Maybe.
She's done it for a while. Yeah,
she actually did a really good job. Now, you know, when she was on American Idol, you know, she had her moments. But she definitely, dance was much more her forte.
Straight up now, tell me, did she do a good job?
All right, so that's all I have to say about that.
So that's all you got to say about
it. I'm tired of battling with you guys about it.
MC Scott can't get out of here.
But I'm interested in talking about the fact that one of the boot the reboot things we're going to have to deal with is Battle of the Network Stars.
This was like a staple when I was a child.
Yes, absolutely.
Afros, before you remember
the Saturday Night Live takeoff on that? Battle of the Network T's and A's.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what it was. It's about getting good looking guys in really tight satin shorts and girls in really tight and getting everybody wet.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's going through puberty at the time, it really helped me.
And have them do tug of war and fall down in awkward poses. And
exactly.
Just,
fall into the pool, swimming, that sort of thing.
I'm also curious what they're going to deem as a network now.
Yeah.
Since there's a
three, now there's
Are they
going to
have like a Hulu?
Will Netflix be included?
The Netflix star.
I wonder if they're going to do like, you know, it's going to be ABC plus Disney and all their other connected networks.
And, you know,
networks.
You don't...
Oh, that'd be crazy.
It's not like the 70s where you had three networks.
Yeah.
And they were all under contract. So they had to go on this stupid ass show. It's not like they're going to get, you know,
Jessica Jones,
Luke Cage.
I want Luke Cage.
That would actually be awesome.
Yeah,
I would watch Luke Cage do tug of war. I don't care who's on the other side.
But this just begs the question, because Battle of the Network Stars also spawned Circus of the Stars.
Circus of the Stars, yes.
Where we saw them being forced to go on trapezes. And,
they look terrified
and
a lot of times.
And were terrified and do fire and all sorts of stuff. And again, they were under contract, so they kind of had to do it.
So I don't think that's written into any of these contracts.
I don't know why this makes me think of it, but it reminds me of the very short-lived surreality show. Help, I'm a celebrity. Get me the hell out of here.
Yes.
Where they forced them to, like, live in
this
really
pretty thing.
That was
an English show. It was a very successful English show.
Yes, but then when it was brought over here, they had, like, was it Bruce Jenner was in it? But also, like...
Wasn't, like, Axl Rose in it or something.
George Hamilton and his ex-wife were both in it. And they were like, please get me out of here. And you had to vote who you wanted to save. And you left the rest to suffer.
So, yeah, I have a feeling that the stars on this Battle of the Network Stars are going to be similar to the Dancing with the Stars. We'll get a couple of names and then a lot of filler.
I will make a bet right now. There will be far less steroids and cocaine in this particular version of the show.
Probably. Well, are they going to drug test them all?
The thing that happens with the Stars is it seems like every other season they have... a set formula and then they don't, and a set formula and then they don't, and so it's like I'm not seeing, usually there's like some 80s heartthrobs, I'm not seeing those. Maybe they've run through those. you know.
How many Backstreet Boys were there?
Well, you know, that's it. You're not seeing a Backstreet Boy. You're not seeing...
Well, they could have done Justin Timberlake.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah, but it's like they used... That was in sync. You know, mm-hmm. They had Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell. You had, you know, Joey Lawrence. And, you know, what was his name? Carlton.
Alfonso.
Alfonso Rivera. Yeah. Who did amazing. And I'm really Lorenzo sorry music. I forgot your name. But it was like, you know, and then they had Elizabeth Berkeley, and they had...
They need to get Martha Quinn from freaking MTV. Original VJ.
Oh my God.
Drop the mic.
That's they could, they except mean. She married Rich, and she doesn't have to do nothing. She doesn't
do shit.
But, you know...
Well, one of those
but
VJs.
It's like, they usually had, like, some of those, or some a Disney star, and yeah. They didn't do that.
Randy of the Woods. The hippie guy.
It'd be funny. It'd be funny.
But, you know, like I'm not seeing a lot of that. It's like this time they're struggling, and then, like, maybe next time they put it in their fall one. And yeah. So, you know, I'm excited about Charo because, she's an excellent dancer. She's an amazing guitar player.
Yeah.
Her shtick was all her shtick, but...
But how old is she?
70.
They've had older people on there, though.
Well, that's true.
I mean, she probably is a pretty good shape.
On there. She did Valerie that. Harper was on there.
Yeah,
except
she
for Valerie had the brain tumor. Because of
the
fires.
No, the what?
She had the brain tumor.
Oh.
Maria Osmond collapsed because of the... Yeah. So,
okay.
Wow. Valerie Harper, we kept worrying that she was going to die. But, you know. But a lot of these people go on there trying to get their redemption. I just wonder if having Ryan Lochte on caused them so people weren't... And Rick Perry last season caused them to say, you know what?
God.
Now you're starting to get into that Tonya Harding realm. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, sometimes people feel a little powerless.
You knew you were going to go there.
I really did. Have you been watching this at all?
I have not.
Have you watched The Powerless?
No.
On TV? Okay, NBC.
The sitcom.
It's a DC sitcom.
Okay.
It's their first sitcom as they're flouting it, but it's getting better. The pilot was kind of uneven.
Some impressive stars in it.
Yeah, you've got Danny Udi from Community, Vanessa
Hudgens
from what, Glee? Was she Glee? Or
no, she was...
one of those cutesy shows.
High School Musical.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but she was also in Beauty and the Beast for a while, the reboot.
The show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, the TV show. Okay, not the live action.
Yeah, so this last one was pretty funny. They found a batarang, and they wanted... They noticed it was beeping, so they thought Batman's coming to get it because he always gets his toys back. And Alan Tudyk decided to dress up as Robin. So that he could prove that he deserved to be the new Robin. And then, of course, everybody pointed out, hasn't Batman gone through, like, two or three Robins already? They all die? Or, you know, so...
I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah, so pretty funny. Of course, they don't show Batman, but he's implied that he...
Well, because Alan Tudyk plays his cousin.
He's Van Wayne, Bruce Wayne's cousin. Name alone is funnier than the show, actually. But anyway, but it's slowly getting there. But it's you know, I think after The Office, it's trying to be along those veins, but it's not quite there yet. But I think, you know, like a lot of shows, they used to give a season to really kind of find its groove. And you don't really get that all the time now. So I hope they will give it a chance.
This is NBC, right?
NBC, yeah.
So NBC they do give it a show. Last year announced that they were going to go back to the Seinfeld model of giving the shows they really like a chance.
Yeah, I think it's good. And even Cheers, they used to do that with. Grant Tinker himself was the president of NBC, and he was like, "This, I believe in the show. The show is funny. It's just we moved it around three times." Mm-hmm. He noticed what they were doing and said, "We need to give it a chance." And kind of the whole thing blossomed. But yeah, because Seinfeld was, oh my gosh, it really took that first year.
I'll go home and watch it on demand.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But fun show. Speaking of fun shows, Walking Dead. What a barrel of monkeys.
What a barrel of laughs.
I'm out. Yeah. You guys have this one all to yourselves.
I haven't watched in a while. Yeah,
doing a couple of episodes here. So last week, it was all about Eugene, Mr. Mullet.
Oh.
Who is in Negan's camp. Uh-oh. And is doing his best to fit in and not get killed.
Ooh.
And that wasn't a bad episode. It was a decent episode. I like the character of Eugene, so it was kind of interesting. He's gone back to lying and saying he was a very important scientist prior to telling everybody I was, you know, part of a government program and I was classified.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll see how he fares in Negan's camp. I think, you know, he says that he is now Negan and he's part of the team, but I doubt he is. I think him and Dwayne are gonna take over. This past episode was all about Rick and Michonne being all lovey-dovey and going to a fair with a lot of zombies, which I totally would go to a fair with a lot of zombies. They found a high school that was having a carnival out there, and then the zombie apocalypse hit. So there was a carnival with a bunch of zombies in it.
Like Zombieland at the very end.
Like,
okay.
Oh, man, gotcha. I'd do that. There was a really bad CGI deer. I have no idea what they spent their money on, but it was definitely not CGI this season. Okay. So this one was kind of a throwaway episode. It's just all Rick and Michonne being lovey-dovey and Rosita being an idiot. So,
Carol make any cookies?
No, we haven't seen Carol in like 3 weeks, and I'm like, come on, bring back Carol.
Aww.
I want her to just go nutso and kill all of Negan's camp.
Including Negan. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. But the sooner they kill off Rosita, the happier I'll be, because she's going into Lori territory. It's like, oh my god, you get the Lori Award for most annoying Walking Dead character.
Oh god.
Well, that would be quite a discovery. Knowing where Carol is.
Oh,
speaking of segues. Other TV shows.
Yes, so Star Trek Discovery has its captain. They have cast Jason Isaacs. I'm very happy.
Who is Jason Isaacs?
Jason Isaacs, you probably recognize him. He was in Event Horizon. He was in The Cure for Wellness.
The Love Boat. He was the bartender.
No.
Fantastic. Fantastic bartender.
That was just Isaac.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right.
Here's the Patriot. He was the bad guy in The Patriot, if you watched The Patriot.
Okay.
British guy.
Okay.
Usually played... Oh, he was Draco Malfoy's dad in the Harry Potter films.
So. Oh, okay.
He's a handsome guy.
Yeah. He'd be a good captain.
He'd be a very good captain. So.
Still not sure if I'm going to pay for CBS Interactive.
That's what I'm looking at, too, but it's Star Trek, so I will probably do it because it's Star Trek. But they're getting underway, and he is now the captain.
What do you guys think about the design of the ship itself?
I haven't actually seen it. I'm keeping myself blind on a lot of this, so...
Okay, I was...
I'm going to have to look that up now.
Not sold on it?
I'm not sold on it.
Okay.
So that's all I'll say.
I'm gonna look at it now.
No, because you need to talk to us about the girl with all the gifts.
The girl with all the gifts. I actually read the book. I have not seen the movie. I was going to rent the movie last night, but I did not. Because I wanted to compare the book to the movie. I like zombies, obviously. And this is a zombie book. This is a very interesting zombie book. I'm going to get the author real quick here. M.R. Carey, Carey. The Girl with All the Gifts. This is an interesting zombie novel in that they explain why people are zombies. It is an actual bacteria that starts to eat parts of your brain. But there is a subset of the zombie population that is not zombies. And they're all children. Ooh. And they actually keep cognitive function in their brains. The bacteria doesn't affect them like it does adults.
Ooh.
So they're able to learn and write and read, and they actually put them in school, but they have to keep them chained and locked to chairs because there's still this, if they smell humans, there's this overriding need to feed. So the main character is Melanie, and she is a zombie child. She doesn't know, they don't call them zombies in this, they call them the hungry.
What do they feed them?
They feed them bugs.
Bugs?
Yeah, they feed them like bugs, just to give them protein.
Oh.
And they can eat meat as long as there's nothing on it, but it doesn't satisfy them like flesh-eating humans do. I thought it was actually an interesting book because, one, it tries to explain the zombie apocalypse, and it gives a different type of zombie that this type of kid that can actually learn and develops a relationship with one of her teachers and becomes a very close relationship.
Is the teacher human?
Yes, the teacher's human.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That was cool.
It was actually a very good book. I was very impressed. So
and there's a movie to go along with it.
Yes, there is a movie. Okay. Incidentally, if you're available on, I think it's April 27th, their Back Alley Films is doing a screening of it at C3 Labs. Check the date on that, though. Go to Back Alley Films and check that. But it's a British film, and because I think this is a British book. But... it is available to rent, and I'm going to rent it because I want to see how it compares to the book.
Cool. Concerning the brain-eating
bacteria.
Bacteria. That would explain the last presidential election.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and what's really weird is they find actual decomposed zombies where the bacteria has manifested so much it's actually grown out of the body.
Like a mushroom. Like the insect thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like a giant mushroom.
So they can be spores if you
Yes,
like...
there are actual fruits on this mushroom.
That's scary.
So, and I'm not going to say anything more on that. But it was actually a really good book. I thought zombie literature tends to be a bit redundant because there's not a whole lot to zombies other than brains. But this actually added kind of a little difference to it.
That's interesting because Shaun of the Dead was a British film and they had a different take on it.
Yeah.
And then this and it.
Warm
cool.
Bodies.
Yeah.
I think Warm Bodies was also British and that actually had a different take on the zombies.
I liked that movie quite a bit.
Yeah, I did too.
It was good.
So did I. The book was actually good, too.
Interesting.
Speaking of British people, who maybe I know
British people.
From British things.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman?
Oh, he's Australian.
Yeah, well, you know. People
that was
always
a
get that.
It's a part
huge.
Of the Commonwealth. Come on.
Excuse me. So
with
Logan.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
There you go.
No,
I was getting there.
You got there.
So did you see Logan?
I did not.
She did not. I did.
That's okay.
Yeah, we can talk about it then?
Yes.
Was it okay if we talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Shink.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Rated
R was a
it's
good
It's very rated
choice.
R.
Please don't bring your children to these movies.
Please.
Absolutely
R for
not.
Reason.
There was a family with two youngins when I went inside, and the littlest one looked to be about 5, and he was scared for most of it.
I was scared, and I'm an adult. And
and I'm not going to lie, I actually cried.
Oh.
But I thought this was a great film. It tries a little too hard to earn its R rating, I think, particularly with the language. I just thought this isn't Deadpool where it's done in a funny type way. This was just like we're rated R.
This was the drama.
Yeah.
Not horror, but definitely more action side of bloody action side of things where, especially with claws, because it's almost like knives. You're getting a lot closer with things, and it's really bloody and kind of gory. I thought they did a really good job because it's loosely based on Old Man Logan, which was a run inside of the Wolverine comic book. And they took parts out that they could. In the original, it's not Professor X that's with him. It's Hawkeye, an old Hawkeye that's blind, but he can still shoot the bow and arrow. So they couldn't do that because Fox owns X-Men and Disney owns Marvel over here, so they can't ever... Which Hugh Jackman was like, he said, you know, only thing I could see coming back for was if the universes combined and I could come back and interact with some different people. But I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. I thought
the kids were
actually really good, too. The little girl that plays, is it Mutant 23? Is it
X-23?
She was actually really good.
She's the biological... offspring
of
grown in a test tube basically
test tube baby of Wolverine and you see a few other kids with other X-Men powers because they're basically using X-Men DNA to create them. I think the bad guys were okay. I think Richard Grant wasn't really given a whole lot to do.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing because he was like, why is he in here?
Yeah.
but using the Reavers was kind of interesting too. They were like these people that missing an arm, so they had like electronic arms that were more powerful, and they were just kind of nasty people. But
yeah, and this is set in an X-Men universe where mutants are basically gone.
Yeah,
and
they've been hunted.
Yeah, and also there was a Professor X thing that happened.
Yes, which they never really go into. Which really, that in itself could be a whole movie.
Yeah,
that McAvoy could do when he goes bald naturally, I guess.
But I thought this was a really good film. It's 2.5 hours long, close to 2.5 hours long. So.
Yeah.
Be prepared to sit for a while.
Go to the bathroom.
Pee.
Yeah. Pee beforehand.
Pee, please.
Or bring a pocket.
And speaking
pocket
of beforehand.
Buddy.
Okay.
Beforehand, they had the...
Oh, no. Carl, not on our...
Not on the floor. Again.
I'm going to reupholster that chair for... Golly.
The 47th time, Carl.
Jeez.
Speaking of beforehand.
Field, we need a sponge.
Like
Field, we need a sponge.
Keep finding it back.
Oh, and then, the trailer.
The trailer.
Oh, my
god! Deadpool trailer.
Oh.
I actually thought it was the beginning of the film, and I'm like, oh, my God, Deadpool's in this.
I was like, this is an odd way, because...
So funny.
So you did see the trailer.
Yeah, there's released the trailer
online.
Now.
Yeah. So
making fun of the whole Superman.
Should have given me homework.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. I highly recommend
it. You've known for 2 weeks you're coming on the podcast. What did you think we were going to talk about?
Carl.
So I hunted down. It's a really funny trailer, and there's an excellent book report on the Old Men in the Sea afterwards. Oh. If you want to read the huge scrawl of text.
Pause it.
Because we're sitting in the theater when that huge scrawl of text started, everyone went, oh, come on.
Yeah. Is that the whole plot? Is that the script? No, not so much.
Right. No.
And then the Guardians Volume 2 trailer.
Came out with a third trailer. It's interesting to watch them back to back to back. The teaser, the first, the second, the third. But yeah. What I liked about the trailers is it's a lot of rehashing of the same information, because I always worry when somebody comes out with two or three or four trailers.
Too much, yeah.
You're going to know the whole plot. But it's like, nope, nope. Saw that one before. Okay. Saw that before. Okay. So...
They show you a little bit different perspective, so you can
don't give too much away. Different order, couple things that I'm, you know, you question on the whole Nebula being in some of the pictures kind of thing, but very interesting stuff. So
and of course you get to see Star Lord's dad.
Yes, and Mantis. I was concerned because in one of the things with Mantis, it looked like she died, but we know she comes back because she's going to be in the next Avengers movie, so.
Yeah, it depends where they pick her up in her timeline, because she's been around a long time and she becomes very powerful later on. So if it's that version of her, she's not going to die. So she could probably beat Thanos in one version of her existence. So
not on the list, but to talk about the boycott of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Lord.
Beauty and the
I'm from Alabama, and every now and then something comes out, and I just pinch my nose and go, no.
Disney's live-action Beauty and the Beast gives us our first gay Disney character.
Openly gay. There have been many... been many gay Disney characters, people. They just haven't said, I'm gay, but come on.
Really, if you watch the animated LeFou, and the animated one was gay.
The Beast definitely gay. Yeah.
But apparently that tips scales, and oh my God, how are you going to explain this to the children?
Okay, so for my conservative friends, I don't know why you're still listening, but if you are, here's my tip for you. And even my dear and sainted mother, we had this conversation with her this past weekend.
Yeah.
What the hell? You're trying to shield your children from what you consider to be wrong. That's not how I look at it, but if this is the case, if you do not... Here's my thing. I'm getting very worked up, so I'm trying to be very calm about this.
Okay.
Here's my thing. No matter whether or not you agree with certain aspects of the world... You still have to acknowledge their existence. And as somebody who was raised in a very conservative family, I'm going to tell you right now, my parents were smart enough to let us kids learn about things. I actually went to school knowing about the birds and the bees. I went to school with people who were older than me and supposedly wiser than me that had no idea about the birds and the bees because their parents avoided talking about it to them altogether. This is how we end up with unwanted pregnancies, because nobody's talked to these kids and they don't know. And when they hit that first line, they cross that first little line of, oh, I shouldn't kiss a boy. And then they kiss them and nothing bad happens. Right. And then they cross the next line. Then where do they know what it is? So if you want to raise your children to live a more conservative lifestyle, that is on you. That's you and your family. I don't want you putting your hand any farther than my nose. I'm not putting it further than your nose. But if you want your children to know something, you don't deny that it exists. You observe it and then talk about it.
So, I deny you had that conversation. I'm sorry. I deny that that was even recorded. I think God will strike down this Apple computer.
It's not happening.
No, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
No.
But I mean, that's all I'm saying. Okay, I mean, first of all, Live your life.
Second of all, how dare you get a gay character in my bestiality film? I mean, really.
Yeah.
Well said, Carol. Well said. Lest I forget witchcraft. Satan's involved, too.
That's right.
But it's like, if you don't allow people to see what's going on, they're never going, we're never going to get to a place of
And that's where, and you know, not to bog this down with political or depression or stuff like that.
Because you have a podcast for that.
I do.
Out of our skull.
But you have a high suicide rate among teens who are gay or queer or bisexual or transgender, and it's because they don't see themselves anywhere. And they still feel very marginalized and very other.
Absolutely.
And the more... So what? So Disney has a gay character. An acknowledged gay character. You can't tell me that Prince Charming with his flouncy little blue cape wasn't gay. Come on. Or those seven dwarves all living together.
Yeah.
Why was Happy happy? Come on.
Because Dopey was Dopey.
Exactly. Thank you.
And Doc could cure them all. But it's just...
Hi. Ho!
And this to me was... Really, it was. This is a story about a girl falling in love with a water buffalo. What the hell are you worried about the gay character over here for?
All these people are afraid that their kids are going to, their boys are going to become Paul Lynn.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
There are worse things we could do.
They're going to catch it. They're going to watch a movie and catch it.
Yeah.
Catch it.
Speaking of flamboyance.
Yes.
Nice segue.
Oh, to this it is.
Yeah. I'm listening to one of the best podcasts. And it's not ours. I'm sorry. Ours is great. Ours is wonderful. But if you're...
And if it sucks, it's because we're not doing something about it.
That's right. That's right. Missing Richard Simmons is a new podcast. It is... So Richard Simmons, we all know who Richard Simmons is. Very flamboyant. Exercise guru. Apparently in 2014, he just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. He went into seclusion. And his friends and... You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of close friends, but he stopped teaching exercise at the studio where he had taught exercise for 40 years with no explanation. He canceled all appointments. He didn't tell any friends what was wrong. There was just no explanation whatsoever. He just went into hiding, basically. So
I think it's because David Letterman retired.
I don't know.
He couldn't handle it because he was on there a lot. Yeah,
so. It could be. There are many theories, but the podcast, it's on its fourth week tomorrow.
Okay.
Is dealing with many theories as to why he went into seclusion and trying to find him, because the guy who hosts the podcast was a friend and had been over to his house, and he won't talk to him. He won't talk to anybody. So, episode 3 dealt with his housekeeper and black magic and the masseuse that thinks she's a witch. And it's really, really entertaining. Huh.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to start listening to it.
Yeah, it is great. Really, really entertaining. And you learn a whole lot about Richard Simmons, who is actually an interesting, interesting guy. Yeah. And the fact that he has cut off all contact is so unlike him, because he was literally like calling people who can't move. They're like 800 pounds. He was calling them and encouraging them every week. And he just stopped all contact. So it was just so unusual that this guy decided to do this podcast to try and find Richard. And it's called Missing Richard Simmons.
I remember when he kind of disappeared, like people, like finally, like it wasn't even him, but a friend of his said, Richard wants you to know he's okay. This was like really shady because it wasn't from Richard or any of his official publicists and stuff like that.
A New Year's message was posted, but it's an old New Year's message from previous years.
It reminds me of like when they'd show the stuff like from Osama bin Laden, and it was just like really old and
really old stuff.
And it was like, you're not talking about anything current, and you're like, wait, this is old as shit. What the hell?
So, I'm waiting for the next episode to come out.
I'm going to check that out.
This is one of those podcasts where I'm just like, oh, come on.
Wow, okay.
I want to listen to the entire thing now.
Can I promote two episodes of some things I just listened to recently?
Sure.
Do you guys know about Schitt's Creek?
Yes.
Yes.
We were watching that.
God, it's funny. It's on Hulu. It's on Netflix, and it stars Eugene Levy, his son, Catherine O'Hara.
It appears on, pop TV, but... Current episodes, the current seasons are currently available on Netflix.
Now, Catherine O'Hara doesn't do interviews. But somehow Chris Hardwick got her to do one.
Yes.
Oh. And it is
she was hilarious.
She was great. She was bubbly, and she answered all of his questions, and it was fantastic.
Ooh.
Another one I want to promote is recently Mark Maron interviewed.
That was on The Nerdist.
Right. Podcast. Mark Maron got Eugene Levy and got him to talk about, like just like Catherine O'Hara, SCTV,
yeah.
the different projects he did. But unlike Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy is a much more serious guy. So he got into the minutiae of what he thinks is funny and his career. And it was it's also damn good. So if you want to hear a couple of great SCTV or Second City interviews that just came out, Eugene Levy on the WTF podcast and Catherine O'Hara on The Nerdist. Really good.
And Mark Maron just has that skill where he can pull out these stories and get people. I don't know what it is, but that guy connects. And he asks those questions you don't really think about.
It's, two different ways.
Yeah, very
good. Yeah, no, Catherine O'Hara, I mean, she talked about how really it was Gilda Radner that got her started. Which is just...
Because her older brother dated Gilda.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just totally blew me away. So, but she like... Cool. But even after they stopped dating, they were still friends. Mm-hmm. And she kind of like... Yeah. Like, she actually worked at Saturday Night Live for like 2 weeks and then quit and went back.
To SCTV?
Yeah. Because thought they'd lost the funding for SCTV, and she got an SNL offer, so she took it. And then they're like, "Hey, we got some money." And she's like, "Okay, thanks, guys." She never even like it. Never, it wasn't even during SNL's live season, so she never actually got on air. She was like, "Oh, thanks, guys." It was all pre-production. It was hilarious. So yeah, good point.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cool.
Bring that up. Speaking of other things to talk about, this week opening is Kong. Skull Island.
Absolutely.
If you were smart and listened to us last week and went on Facebook, you saw that we had free passes from them, and we are so happy to support them. We will also have at Charlotte Comic Con this weekend.
Sunday, March 12th.
Sunday. Swag to hand out. So yeah. If you want a cool poster and some other stuff, we'll be having that on Sunday at Charlotte Comic Con. So make sure to stop by our booth. Do not look for us in the outer circle. We are in the inner circle.
They let us go inside, which we're pretty highfalutin now. Pretty
high. Yeah, so we'll have our Geek Gala tablecloth. So look for the Geek Gala sign, but we will have some cards with Guardians of the Geekery on it and stuff like that that you can stop by and see, as well as some cool artwork from Charlotte Geek, Davy Beauchamp, and different things. So make sure you come and stop by. We'll also have Zillas for sale.
Zillas!
I've made a couple new ones, including Charlotte and Charlie Connor for Charlotte Comic Con.
Yes.
And Carol will have some, too. And we're still having Zilla Craft Night, so make sure to check that out. Okay, that's my little plug for the week. And I also want to talk about, we were talking last episode about cool things and not so cool things happening in the region. But one of the cool things that came up is there is a gentleman outside of...
Right now?
Yeah.
In the rain?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Outside of the Raleigh area in Waxapaha, who has bought land and is building a theme park. A Whirligig theme park.
Ooh.
If you go on WRAL, which is the Raleigh TV station, you can actually see a video of the interview they did with him. This guy has helped create Disney projects. He's also done Busch Garden theme park projects and lots of other ones. So this isn't some kook just saying, hey, I'm going to build a park. He actually knows what he's talking about. He and his wife have over 40 years of theme park and that kind of direct and direction and stuff like that. They've already got some sponsorship. They actually have 3 parks planned for the North Carolina area. One would be like a Pirates themed one. But one of the things that I thought of with you, Carol, is that this Whirligig Park includes a haunted house.
Oh, cool.
And lots of cool art structures, which we do have a lot of cool and amazing artists here in the Charlotte and Raleigh areas that are definitely worth talking about. But it's a family fun park. It looks like a really cool opportunity, bringing some jobs back to the area, which, you know, also congrats to Roy Cooper for finding some money to get the film community back up and running here in the area as well.
Yeah, there's a movie being shot in the area right now.
Yeah, so very cool stuff. So, you know, but of course, then on the other side, as we were talking about last episode, we also have a lot of bars and musical venues closing. And you were actually going to talk a little bit about why that's happening.
All right. Cool. I have watched the music market for years, back from when I was a teen to what's been happening lately. And after all this positive stuff, now we're going to get negative. I
know. That's okay.
We always end on a downer.
For all you people that are upset about all the bars closing, I'm afraid that's just the nature of a changing city. And as bad as it is, we lost Tremont, that we lost Double Door, that we lost Amos's, that we lost the Chop Shop. Think about it. When those places opened, those were all opened in depressed areas. They were cheap buildings.
Yeah.
The problem is, that is not cheap property anymore. And this happens everywhere. Think about it. CBGB's is a clothing store now. Fillmore East is no more. It's just the nature of the beast. Charlotte had kidnappers years ago, and you guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
Nope.
It became Baby Doll Strip Club on Pineville Road, and it backs up to railroad tracks. And I saw the Sponge Tones there, and they would draw 1,500 people. I saw the Tubes. I saw Steppenwolf with my father. I saw the Guess Who. I saw... Lord, I know Cheap Trick played there. And the funny thing was, when a train would go by, the bands would stop playing, look at each other and laugh. And when the train went by, they'd start playing again. But it was voted as one of the best places in America to see a live band in Guitar Magazine. Then there was P.B. Scott's, a three-story music club. Then there was the Cellar, which is now the Moorhead Tavern.
Oh, yeah.
That was a legendary place. The fact is, this city has had lots of bar music venues over the years that have come and gone. What we need now are some young entrepreneurs to find those places in depressed sections of town that are not very safe to open some new clubs. And I'm afraid that's just what's going to happen next.
There's a reason why the milestone is still there.
The reason the milestone is still there, yeah.
It's in a bad part of town.
It's in a bad part of town. Although I have heard rumors they want to widen Tuckasegee. Hopefully that's not the case.
I believe it because it's a cut-through. So, things get backed up around there, that is the cut-through. And I actually was with Davey this past week and we got lost and went by there and I'm like, oh yeah, the milestone. And then I was like, we need to get the hell out of here. Okay.
To the milestone, you don't want to stop.
Yeah. But remember Pterodactyl?
Oh, the Pterodactyl, exactly.
And you wouldn't go, you would go there and I would leave my car unlocked. Because people would break the windows. Yeah. Like, and they had supposed security, but now that's a housing development. Like, an ups very expensive.
Well, remember, the reason it closed is because a UNCC student got shot in the head and got killed.
It was a very dangerous
area. It was a very dangerous area, and that pretty much killed the bar.
Yeah.
It's.
Park Elevator.
Park Elevator.
Cedar.
That had to do with. That was arson. And it was going to be something else anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
Because that property was getting developed.
Yeah.
The fact is, there have been a lot of great bars in this town.
Yeah.
A lot of great musical venues. We still have the Visual Light, of course. Didn't mention that in the last episode.
That's true. Yeah.
The fact is, though, if you want there to be more music venues in this town, and you are business-minded, then for God's sakes, get off your butts and open a bar.
And open a club. If you can, buy the property and
yes,
the building.
Buy the property and the building.
Now. Even though it might be expensive to you right now. Oh,
it'll
my gosh.
It'll be more expensive later on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I do want to state that there are some alternative venues popping up.
Sure.
That they're not quite to the level of a Tremont or anything like that. But there are breweries that are starting to take on that role. What was the one that we were looking at for
Sugar
the
Creek?
Sugar Creek has a beautiful venue space. No Dog Brewery has the Chick Spear in the park things going on.
There's a cidery that's about to open.
Yeah. I forget the name of it. So some of those venues are building with the ability to have small music venues. Now, exactly. It's still not the big music venues that we're looking for, but it's a place to start. Mm-hmm. And when you hear about music happening in those areas, go out to it.
Yeah.
Support it.
Support your local Let music.
People pay, it's the same as PBS people. It's the same as NPR. If you want it to be around tomorrow, you need to support it today.
Exactly.
If you want to create a new space tomorrow, you're going to have to pay for it today. And it's just like government or anything else. If you don't like what's happening, do something to change it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
But the whole point is this city changes. Every vibrant city changes. Yeah. We've lost some good places. Believe it or not, I feel that there will be more good places in the future. Just when they open, go and spend money.
Yeah. See, that actually was possible.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You are the change you want to see happen.
Exactly.
So it's up to you
to do it.
There
is hope. Yes.
There is hope. Yes, we can. She persisted. And so can you, even if you're not a she.
Yes.
So, okay. So now that we're all up and positive, let's talk about something sad.
Oh. Why don't we should like start out every podcast.
I know. We should just
start with it. Yeah.
Totally do that. Yeah. I agree. Next Let's time. Start that next week. Hopefully nobody will die. All in favor, say
aye.
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 Tipples.
Yeah.
Tipples. You were out. Bid. You were out. Voted.
I voted.
But we did lose a television icon, at least for me.
Oh. Yeah.
Robert Osborne was the face of TCM, Turner Classic Music. He brought back something that we were missing, which is an intro and conversation about what you're about to watch. And he was the Google and the IMDb and all the other trivial fact information. Now, Ben Menkowitz has co-hosted with him and taken a lot of those duties. But one of the things that I loved about Robert Osborne, who passed away at 84 last week, was that right before you watched a movie, he would give you, this is kind of the time period that it was made. These are some of the struggles that the movie house made in making this film. This is, this is where in the
career
chronological part of that guy's career it took place. Maybe they had to make it because they were part of a film studio contract and maybe they weren't into it. Or maybe, whatever, so that you got to watch this stuff and kind of watch it with a more intelligent eye than just somebody sitting there and absorbing. So you actually thought about what you were watching. And so many times now, I think with so much mass information being shoved at us, there's not somebody to say, hey, just so you know, if you do a little research, this might be some information you need to know. So he will be sorely missed.
Yes.
I enjoyed his take on things and some of his partnerships when he would do things with like Drew Barrymore or Sally Field and sit down and discuss a movie with them while I watched it. So hats off to you.
In connection with that, can I suggest one more podcast?
Okay. Absolutely.
Have you guys heard of You Must Remember This?
No.
No.
It is a podcast that's been going on for more than a year now.
If we did, we don't remember.
It is Hollywood stories of Hollywood history you did not know or may have forgotten. The Charles Manson series is creepy as hell, but the woman who does it is fantastic. She's a journalist, a producer. It's very professionally done. And right now, since for the last month or so, she was running a series called Dead Blondes.
Oh.
Hollywood starlets who died tragically or their lives went bad.
Ooh.
And, but if nothing else, if you just, right now the Dead Blondes series has been great, but the Charlie Manson series, she goes into the minutia of the people he connected with, including one of the Beach Boys, before he did what he did, or he got his people to do what he did.
Yeah.
But it's called You Must Remember This, and it's a fantastic podcast.
Cool.
Yes. Almost as good as ours.
Almost. All right. And with that,
and on that note,
we bid you adieu. Thank you.
for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG.
Dead bomb. Let's not forget Charlie Manson. Dead bomb.